An opening weekend where a 1 seed, a 3 seed, 2 4 seeds, and the defending champs go down. How to prepare for your Grizzlies-Hawks finals on Overreaction Monday. Let's go around the horn.
Love it.
The NFL all over again.
All right, this is Home Run with Overreaction. Pays our bills.
I'm gonna overreact to Overreaction Monday.
Like it.
When the Lakers won the championship last year, they lost game one to Portland in round one. They lost game one to Houston in round two. But the question on Overreaction Monday is, does this year feel different? Yesterday, DeAndre Ayton was eaten better than Anthony Davis. Devin Booker, was he better than LeBron? And Chris Paul and LeBron got into it as well. The Suns barely had any clouds. Phoenix up 1-0. How did Phoenix go up on the Lakers? And how real is it? Around the horn to Jackie McMullen.
Well, let's start with your initial question, Tony, the idea that this might be Houston of Portland of last year. It is not. The Suns have been a great team all year long. They earned that number 2 seed. Let's start there. Then let's go on to Anthony Davis, who was a non-existent process in this game. Now, he was 5 of 16 from the floor, Tony, 3 of 11 when a guy named DeAndre Ayton was guarding him. So which is worse, Davis going 5 of 16 from the floor or allowing DeAndre Ayton to go 10 of 11 from the floor, 26 points and 12 rebounds? We said Ayton was the X factor. I think you saw that here. Let's continue with the idea that the Lakers had 16 more free throws and still lost this game. LeBron doesn't look completely right to me. AD disappeared. I'm not saying they can't pull this out, because as you said, LeBron's lost series opener 20 times, Tony, and has advanced in 12 of those. But I don't want to be a Laker fan this morning. I'd rather be a Suns fan.
Mm-hmm. Is there any time for anyone else on the show? Frank Isola, join us here. How real is what the Suns did in game one?
Well, I think it definitely is real, and Devin Booker was outstanding. He kind of got lost in the shuffle. Think about it. DeAndre Ayton and Mikal Bridges had 31 points. LeBron James and Anthony Davis, they had 31 points. The Lakers just could not score. They only put up 90 points in the game. And Anthony Davis is right. A lot of it does fall on him. He needs to play center. Andre Drummond is not the answer. He could not do anything against Ayton. To me, they got to play small, play Anthony Davis, and you have to hope that LeBron is right, because to Jackie's point, something's going on there. He doesn't look well, and then you see him get his left arm pulled, so he could be carrying that injury in game two as well.
Well, Chris Paul wasn't exactly well either, and the fear was for Phoenix. Is this going
to happen? He's not their best player. Booker is.
Mm-hmm. Monty McNutt, you can join us now.
I just think this Phoenix Suns team is the real deal. You mentioned the combo of Ayton and Bridges, Frank. I looked at the combo of Booker and Ayton for 55 points. And then just to pile on a little bit on AD, 31%, that's his lowest mark in the postseason. Yeah. I think more than anything, some of the conversation that we've had about the Nets and their continuity issues should also be applied to this Lakers squad. You talk about warming up, easing in. The Phoenix Suns are hot. They're not interested in you playing warm-up ball. They're there to win.
So you think there needs to be some working out between Anthony Davis and LeBron, even though they had all of last year, Monica?
Not just those two. I mean, the second best playmaker on that squad is Dennis Schroeder, right? And so it can't just be LeBron and AD. Even though those other guys don't necessarily create their own shots, KCP's got to be in the right position. Caruso, they've got to, the whole thing, to me, looks a little bit rusty. I mean, if we're honest, they beat the Warriors, but there were certainly some glimpses of that rust in that win.
Sure. Tim Kalishaw, how real is what Phoenix did in game one?
Oh, I think it's pretty real, and I think the realest part that scares the Lakers, as Jackie started talked about, is DeAndre Ayton, who is a guy who's at the top of that Luka Doncic, Trae Young draft, and some nights it looks like it's okay that Phoenix picked him, and some nights it doesn't look like that was such a good deal, but in this game, what he did to Anthony Davis in the biggest game he's played in the NBA, that's enormous. The Lakers don't really seem to have a good idea on how to guard Booker. And we haven't even mentioned, with Paul's injury, and then Cameron Artis Payne got tossed
out
of the game, who would have played a lot, maybe in you know, spelling Paul, excuse me, a little bit there. He got tossed out after Montrezl Harrell slammed into him like a linebacker. I'm not sure what the call was there. Phoenix was shorthanded.
Peacemaker.
They still found a way to win that game. Peacemaker. They found a way to win that game. And they showed up all kinds of problems for the Lakers.
Jackie, you wanted to add on Chris Paul?
Yeah, I do want to say, Frank, he may not be their best player, but he is by far their most important player. Devin Booker has always been a great offensive threat, but until Chris Paul get there and start orchestrating that team, if he's hurt, Tony, and he looked hurt to me, he talked about something being, hearing a crack in his shoulder, the Phoenix Suns will be in big trouble if Chris Paul can't go, even if he can only go at half speed. That's how important he is.
You know, Frank Isola, we were talking before we came on air, as we do before every show. You know, we hashed out just a little bit, and you were very, it was interesting to me to hear you talk about how the NBA did not discipline LeBron for his COVID protocol violation. I want you to open the floor to this right now because I want to see how everyone responds.
Well, you can't help but think there's a bit of a double standard here when you remember what happened to Lou Williams last year with Magic City. Lou Wings, everyone was calling him. He got a suspension. Kevin Durant, twice this season, was put in COVID protocol, and he didn't even test positive. So here you have LeBron at this event. It's the biggest name player in the league. It just seems to be, when you look at things on a surface, it's a double standard.
Monica?
It is a double standard, but I don't want to watch the playoffs without LeBron. I mean, something should be done, and that obviously is the difference between all those examples you mentioned, Frank. Those were regular season affairs. I mean, this is the playoffs.
But it's still, a rule is a rule. So now you're going to set rules for the playoffs and for the regular season. It seems unfair.
Tim Kalishaw.
I think there was some ambiguity in that rule, in those rules. And in addition, when that happened with Lou Williams a year ago, we weren't even close to a vaccine. There was a lot greater fear about a lot of things. And now you kind of have eased back a little bit. There's a double standard, but I'm with Monica. It'd have been a lot worse reaction if they'd have suspended him for a playoff game for that.
We've been horned. We move on. Look at that. Knicks Hawks. Topic two on this year program in the playoffs. Trae Young has become the mustache-twirling, beat-you-in-your-own-house villain the league needed. He heard it from Knicks fans, and then he muted them with the floater. Everyone says you have to do it in the postseason. Here, it's the postseason. Monica McNutt, you covered this game for the Madison Square Garden Network. Was this the arrival of Trae Young, and what's the number one takeaway from Hawks-Knicks?
I do think it is the arrival of Trae Young. I mean, he did this in the world's most famous arena, right on the biggest stage with the game on the line. The Knicks, however, are obviously going to have to figure out a way to slow him down. He was terrific. He had 10 assists, 32 points, and you knew the ball was going to him in that last moment. I have questions whether they should have doubled him prior to the inbounds, but that's neither here nor there. What I will say, though, is that between these two teams, I think that the Hawks were closer to their ceiling in terms of good basketball. The Knicks obviously did get much production from their star, all-star, all NBA caliber player in Julius Randle. He knows he has to be.
Well, let's go. Let's be here and there with the double team there on the Trae Young. Monica, diagnose the last 10 seconds for me.
I just don't know why you don't put Alec Burks on Trae Young, period. I get it. You insert Frank Ntilikina. He's supposed to be your defender. Don't get me started on allowing him to go right without even having to use a screen. But you can't let Trae get the ball. I'd live with it if you see what Collins versus Taj Gibson looks like in that moment.
We want to get you started, Monica. Please, get started. Frank Isola, let's go.
Yeah, 30 and 10 for Trae Young. The only guys to do that in a playoff debut, you have Chris Paul, Derrick Rose, LeBron James. That's pretty good company. And I will say this, we've come a long way from when the fans were really clever and were taunting Reggie Miller with Cheryl, Cheryl. I'm not so sure that's an original chant last night. And all that happened before he did anything. And I'll say this for Trae Young, and he faces a lot of abuse. That is one tough dude out there, and he handled himself well. And really, this whole Trae Young thing, villain, Madison Square Garden, it overshadows the fact that if Carmelo Anthony or Patrick Ewing in their prime played like that in a game one, 6-for-23, that's who we would be talking about today, not the fans and Trae Young.
Where did Julius Randle go wrong yesterday, Frank?
I didn't think he was going downhill as much as he's been used to doing, not creating plays, drawing a little contact. It just didn't happen for him early, and he kind of reverted back to the Julius Randle we saw before this season with the Knicks.
Jackie Mack, your takeaway from Atlanta, New York?
So, Frank, I might be wrong. I might be giving the Knicks fans too much credit, but when Trae Young was in college at Oklahoma, he went to Texas Tech, where his father's alma mater was, and they chanted that same chant that the Knicks fans started yesterday, and Trae Young had one of the few terrible games of his young college career. Yeah. I don't know if that's
college
the genesis
kids.
Of it.
It's college but kids it,
okay, but the Knicks fans, as you said, aren't that original. I will say this. I'm buying Trae Young all day, every day. Trae Young said about 2 weeks ago, everybody's sleeping on Atlanta. No one's giving us enough credit or consideration. And I think this is a guy that was snubbed at the All-Star game, knows he's going to be snubbed for All-NBA. And I think he's just saying to you, everybody, hey, y'all, remember me? Remember my team that we've been lights out since Nate McMillan became our coach? We got all our guys. We could shoot. We're for real.
And Tim, the takeaway from the first weekend in the playoffs, was it Trae Young for you as well?
Yeah, well, it was kind of a Trae Young, Ja Morant, Luka Doncic, anybody 23 and under who dominated their game, kind of a coming out party for all those. But Trae Young, you know, in that environment, not only was he not used to that, the Knicks weren't even used to that. They haven't had, you know, 15,000 people in Madison Square Garden this year. I don't know if that maybe made the home players nervous, seeing all that crowd and feeling the pressure. It should have energized them, and at times it surely did, but Trae Young's performance and the Hawks' defense, which has been better since Nate McMillan got there, and they don't get a lot of credit for that. I thought that was a good thing.
We'll give Monica the last word here.
Just to the Julius Randle thing, I thought the Hawks did a great job on him. You saw Clint Capella shadowing a little bit of the wall that Giannis Antetokounmpo draws. But early in the game, I just thought he was missing some shots that he usually hits. They were just a little off to the left.
All right, Ice, you can squeeze one in.
Yeah, the only thing worse than the chanting at Trae Young was the Heat bench counting when Giannis Antetokounmpo was at the free throw line.
Frank,
the Heat organization,
no.
That is Bush League. Bush League.
Guys, no.
Too great of an organization to be doing that.
McMullen 25, Isola 23, McNutt 20, Kalishaw 18. Taking a break, buy or sell next. We'll talk Grizzlies and Jazz.
Plenty of time.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guarantee Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Welcome back to Around the Horn, coming to you from the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17.
Grizzlies, Jazz, and that Donovan Mitchell update, and Phil at the PGA. But we have to start with this story that just broke this afternoon. Julio Jones on FS1's Undisputed today, okay? This was on national TV. Shannon Sharp called him and put the call on speakerphone, and that's when Julio Jones said, oh, no, man, I'm out of there. Speaking about the Falcons. Now, backstory is here. Allegedly, he asked for a trade months ago, and the Falcons are looking for a first-round pick, and they'll start looking in June when finances will make that more of a possibility. But, Tim, I want to ask again, did he even know he was on national TV? Does that hold up as a trade demand from Julio Jones?
You know, Shannon Sharp was very quick as a tight end. He might want to be a little quicker with that we're on the air. Do that at the beginning of the conversation, not the end. But regardless, Julio Jones has been unhappy with the Falcons a couple of times. And the problem here, everybody thinks, oh, great player. Yeah, great player, $23 million cap hit. How many picks do you have to give up? That limits the market for him quite a bit.
You think the market's limited. Monica McNutt, what do you think of this?
I know that his name has come up linked to the Washington football team, and in this area, there were a handful of folks that seem to think he's injury prone. I think that's a little bit aggressive, but he did only play 9 games last year. But this is a guy that is one of the all-time leaders in receptions and yards per game for Atlanta. I think if you're a team that's in a position to contend, you make it happen.
Frank Isola.
I like the fact that Shannon Sharpe could have said, I spoke to a person close to Julio Jones. He got him on the phone. They had some fun with it. He took a little dig at the Dallas Cowboys. And he said, guess what? He wants to win, which is probably true. Not of 100%, but maybe 99% of the players in the NFL. He wants to win. Thank you.
Atlanta wants, if they're going to make a trade, a first-round pick, Jackie Mack. Is that something that Julio Jones can get?
I'm not sure on that, Tony. They may have to end up settling for a second-round pick, but you're right about the June 1 date. The cap hit before June 1 is $23 million. After June 1, it's $7.75 million. Tony, that's a huge difference. But somebody will want Julio Jones, maybe the New England Patriots.
Just everybody wants to name the team that from the city that they're from, Monica and Jackie.
I didn't say it.
Frank shockingly didn't say it, but after last
New York,
year with DeAndre Hopkins going for a second rounder and David Johnson, this could be the second year. Huge receiver moves. Let's get back to basketball. The Utah Jazz. What is the deal with the Utah Jazz? They wanted the one seed. They earned the one seed. One seeds have lost game ones before, but this Donovan Mitchell stuff is suspect. He announced himself ready to play last night after a month plus away with a sprained ankle. The team did not agree, held him back. The Grizzlies, so hot right now, and Dylan Brooks was a force, and Gobert was a dead fish flopping, and the Jazz got the L. And now Windhorse and McMahon reporting Mitchell is furious with the team. Monica, what do we have here with the Utah Jazz?
The Mitchell thing is absolutely puzzling, Tony. It doesn't make sense to me that you wouldn't have your star in a playoff series against a very hungry and serious Memphis team. But just on the basketball front, this is something that I was concerned about the Jazz with earlier this season. Jonas Valanciunas is going to occupy Rudy Gobert, and the Memphis Grizzlies are a very fast team. I just wonder if they have the advantage, and obviously yesterday they were able to capitalize in that regard.
Right, guys, hold on.
Valanciunas is tough. Dylan Brooks competes on every possession. But I don't get this, though. How many times have we heard a great player say, they didn't want me to play, but I said I'm going after and playing?
Yeah.
You mean to tell me he couldn't play 15 minutes? He couldn't play 20 minutes? It's game one of the playoffs, for crying out loud.
Jackie McMahon.
Well, I think you need to go back and look, and you see that a couple weeks into his rehab, he brought in his own training staff. This is not unusual. LeBron has his own guys. Michael Jordan used Tim Grover for years. But clearly, the Jazz didn't love that so much, and maybe their feeling was, we're not going to have your guys tell us when you're ready. Well, I don't know this. I'm just speculating, but I do find it interesting that he brought in his own people and that maybe there's something up to that. I will say this. If you're the Jazz, you better watch out for this Memphis team. They're 8-1 in their last 9 games. They've held teams to 42% shooting, Tony. They're not afraid of anybody, not even the number one seed.
Last night was a 3-point game. If Utah's Donovan Mitchell, is it a different story, Tim Kalisha?
I don't know if it is, because I think there was a whole energy thing that that Memphis has going for it. They eliminate the Spurs Wednesday. They eliminate the Warriors Friday. They're playing up here. The Jazz have been number one seed for a while. They're, okay, now let's start the playoffs. They didn't get to Memphis' level.
Buy or sell three now, Phil Mickelson. His sixth career major. All majors are created equal, but some more equal than others. This one, fully, equally unbelievable and disbelievable. I mean, for it to come at 50, oldest ever by 2 years, on the longest course ever. And in the best sunglasses ever, too. I mean, what is that? Matrix, Top Gun, North by Northwest? Frank, what did Phil Mickelson just accomplish?
It's an amazing accomplishment. I thought he might have won the tournament on Friday. He had 5 birdies on his last 9 holes. I was waiting for you, Tony, to say, is he the greatest of all time? Tom Brady, Michael Jordan, Serena, they never won at the age of 50. How come you didn't say that? He's a GOAT.
Jackie McMullen, are you calling Phil a GOAT for winning at 50?
I have no idea what Frank is talking about 90% of the time on this show. This is one of those times.
Neither do I.
It just makes no sense to me. But it is an incredible accomplishment. The fact that he was at the age he was and that he's gone through, he hasn't won a tournament in such a long time. I the thing that caught me when I saw him get out of that trap at 5 and with the sandwich and hole it in, I thought, okay, man, this is his weekend, because sometimes that's what it takes in golf.
And he's going head-to-head with the guy who has dominated the majors for the last 5 years, and Phil Bogey's 1, 3, 6. He gets off to that roller coaster start, but he's making birdies and surviving it. Just an unbelievable
story. And as far as an accomplishment, the oldest ever to win a major, Kalisha, what does it mean?
More surprising than Tiger winning a few years ago, because when Tiger was 43 at Augusta, because
really?
Phil hasn't even been a top 20 in his last 14 tournaments. He hadn't been near the leaderboard.
Let me put that out there. Monica, more surprising than Tiger winning it after the incredible comeback Tiger had at 43?
I think so. I mean, Tiger, to me, has a more of a household name with a slightly younger demographic. I jumped on this story when I realized that this hadn't been done since 1968 and at the age of 48. And Phil is, like you said, 2 years older than Julius Burrows was. This is just super dope. Shout out to acknowledging ageism and all those things. And you can be great at any age. Dreams don't die.
I'm stunned, Nick. Isola's calling him the GOAT. Kalisha says this is bigger than Tiger Woods. McNutt saying this is bigger than Tiger Woods.
More surprise.
Greatest athlete of all time.
All right. Kalisha, McNutt.
Oh, man. Really, Frank? Really? You're going to go?
We're going to have a conversation about that, by the way. Greatest athlete of all time in Showdown. Ice and Mac.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Simone Biles landing the Yurchenko double pike vault. Even if you don't know what that is, you know it's absurd, but here it is. A round off onto a springboard, then a back handspring onto the vault, then two backflips through the air,
whoa,
and landing. No woman had ever attempted it, ever, in a competition. The lower vault making its complexity and danger an impossibility up until now. Not even the judges knew what to do with this. Frank, what did we just witness?
Well, you're setting me up as usual, Tony. She didn't stick the landing. That's where you want me to go. I kid. She's an unbelievable athlete. You think about the great Olympians, Usain Bolt, Jackie Joyner, Katie Ledecky, Michael Phelps. She's right up there with them, obviously.
She's not right up there with them. She is the greatest athlete of all time in her sport. It's not even close, Frank. No one has ever attempted what he just did. Do you know the last time she lost a meet? It was 2013. She was 16 years old and competing just in her third meet ever as a senior gymnast. She's the GOAT, and she
Usain
wore
Bolt's
it.
Usain Bolt's pretty good.
But Frank, why are you even doing this? Why, you're just walking into mutes, and that's fine. She said, because I can do it. That's why she did it, because I can do
awesome.
It. Which is the simplest definition of GOATness, as you said, Jackie. 30 seconds of FaceTime.
Thanks, Tony. The NBA just announced a business and venture called NBA Africa today, and it's about investing in Africa and helping the youths and the livelihoods and the families in those countries. As someone who's traveled to Rwanda on a service trip, I hope they will remember the young women of those cultures and of those countries. I can tell you, I met a woman who didn't cook her husband dinner because she was tired. She slept outside in the dirt. No means no everywhere in the world. It should mean no in Africa as well. NBA, concentrate on that stuff too, okay? Promise?
Thank you, Jackie Mack. We'll see you tomorrow.